Morning, everyone. Excellent. So how fast does God move? So if God exists outside of time, if he exists outside of space, if he exists outside of matter, how fast does God move? Good question. Does he move this fast? Now, of course, that's a jet breaking the sound barrier. Now, I don't know about God, but that was certainly my experience as a kid growing up, about that speed. And in fact, it was probably more than a kid. It was probably a young adult and even an older adult. That speed seemed to be like the pace that I like to go at. Breaking limits, on the edge. I had two speeds, flat out or off. That was kind of it. In fact, you know, as a little boy, when I had to go to bed, you know, my first reaction was often, but Mum, I didn't do anything wrong. Because sleep was punishment for me. It was like the lack of doing life was sleep. I just didn't get the concept, but that's the way I lived most of my life. Now, about 12 months ago, I became aware, can I have the next slide, of this thing. So I became aware. So I started to ponder, started putting some values in place. We saw this from last week when Caleb started the mini-series again. And I set into action some suggestions from John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, with regards to slowing down. Now, he gave about 20 in the book, 20 great examples of how to actually slow down. Some were, example, driving the speed limit. Get into the slow lane. Come to a complete stop at stop signs. Now, for a person that lives that speed of a jet, that's very difficult. Some were like, parent your phone, put it to bed before you and make it sleep in. Walk slower. If anyone knows me, I'm pretty quick at most things. Walk is, almost running. Take a regular day alone for silence and solitude. Cook your own food and eat in. Now, some of those things were quite easy. I could do that. But the challenge for me around the slowing down was around the driving. I'm a pretty patient kind of guy, but when it comes to me behind the wheel, now I don't get road ragey, but I do get annoyed with inconsiderate drivers. Is anyone else out there? They're just like in their own world. So I decided when we started this, you know, this 12-month slowing down kind of, you know, period about when we first started hearing about slow down spirituality, to put these things into place, the drive the speed limit, stop at stop signs, and everything to do with the car. So normally I would get a speed ticket once every 5 years. If you ask my wife, she would possibly say every 3 years, but it's a lie. It is honestly about once every 5 years that I would get a speeding ticket. But since I was intentional, Lauren, at slowing down, I got 3 speeding fines in 1 year. 3. That's so frustrating. They just, as if they knew. So how fast does God move? Well, it's certainly not about 8 kilometres over the speed limit, because I got fined. And my pocketbook is empty as a result of that. So how does God move? Well, it's certainly not at 8 kilometres over the speed limit. So say there's 2 categories, generally speaking, of people. All right? You can see there the half full and the half empty. Who are the half full people? The half full are the optimists, right? They're the ones that, you know, always think the best, always. Who can I have the half full? Put your hand up. Half full. in between, fence sitter, all right? No fence sitting, all right? Who are the half full people? See, if you're half full, you're really not. So, all right, who are the half empty people? Who are the half empty? All right. So the half full represents the optimist and the half empty is the pessimist, but and both have good and bad traits. There's good things about the half full and there's good things about the half empty. There's also some negative things about the half full and there's also some negative things about the half empty in terms of traits. But I want you to think not in terms of is it right, wrong, good, bad, I'm that one, not that one. I want you to think in terms of both of them have margin. Both of those cups have a margin for creativity, reflection, these types of things. Would everyone agree with that? So don't think, you know, optimist is good, pessimist is not, or the other way around. Think in terms of both of those have margin, they have space, they have room. Now here's me. Like I'm the overflowing bloke, all right? I do not like the space, so I'm like the overflowing kind of guy. Now, most people say that's probably you as an optimist as well. I always see the best in people. I always think the best. I always want the best. But I'm not talking about my optimism. I'm talking about how full can I fill my cup? And I dare say I might not be alone. In terms of margin, space, creativity and reflection, you know, there's little room in that cup. Why do I do this? Why do I constantly, you know, want more, need more, fill that cup to overflowing? And yes, there's scriptures about overflowing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having space, time, margin to reflect, to ponder, to think, to be creative, to be reflective. But what I do when there's space is fill it. I reckon I'm not alone. Why aren't I happy? Why aren't we happy or content like Paul all the time? Regardless if he had much or little, he remained content. Because that's really the issue for me. Why do I feel it? Because there's a restlessness as we sang that song, or a contentment that's not there. So maybe it's discontentment. Paul goes on and he says that he found a secret. There's a secret to the contentment that Paul found. So whether he had lots, little, or anything in between, he remained full in terms of his life, his reflectiveness, his ability to be creative, think outside the box, have time, take time, slow down. So for me, I had to go back in order to go forward to look at the cause and not the symptoms. The speeding fines were a symptom of my rushing, of my hurriedness. So we can either deal with the symptoms or look for underneath it what's causing that. That's an entirely different conversation that you have with yourself. Symptoms, you just treat and, you know, just don't speed or whatever. But why? Why do I have to pack so much in that I then become so full and so late and so strict with my time that if anything blocks it, then I'm in trouble? That's really the problem. So as we learn, you know, through the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality course, which I highly recommend if you ever get the chance to do it, to talk about slowing down, to make margin, room, space, to address the cause. And for me, it came down to a combination of two things. Has everyone heard the term YOLO? Oh, the young one said, what does it stand for? You only live once, right? So therefore, and that was me, YOLO, you know, you only live once. So therefore, I have to pack as much into my life, and this will have an ongoing consequence. I have to pack so much into my life. I have to make the most of every opportunity. I have to experience it all because I only live once, which is a lie, by the way. Or, so there's a combination of that, fitting so much into my life because I only had one chance. That was probably me as the boy. Then as I grew older, there was another one called FOMO. I know what's going on with you young people. What's FOMO? Fear of missing out. That was the other issue. So I either had to jam it full of things because I only had one life to live, so I just put so much in, experience it all, live on the edge, like that plane, like the limits and the boundaries, you know. So if mum told me to sit on the mat, my little car as a little boy was on the edge. I would go off for a second, she'd look at me and go, Peter, and I'd move it back on because I was honestly, my toes were always on the line, fitting as much life into this time that I had, or as I grew older, the fear of missing out. So therefore, I was not seeing my limitations as a gift from God. Because guess what? You can only be at one place at a time. I'm human. You're human. We have limits. Time, space, one place at one time. The pesky, non-omnipresent stuff that only God is. Our limits include, but not limited to, our bodies. As I said, we can only be at one place, one time. How many people have double booked? Yeah, we've all double booked, right? Is that true? You can't be at two places at the one time. We're not God. It's a limit. Our minds, we don't know everything. Paul said really clearly, I know in part. We honestly don't know everything. Yet we live as if we do. That's a limit. I don't know everything. Our giftings, our personalities and emotional wiring, our family of origin, these are all limitations. Sometimes gifts of God. Our education and careers. I cannot do Gigi's job as a nurse. Not gifted. I'd be a mess. I couldn't do it. There's just no way I could do that. I'm limited to try and do anything that Gigi as a nurse would try and do. This is a good one. Our seasons of life and responsibilities. Now, I'm up to grandchildren's phase. My kids are grown up, so I've got some freedom in terms of I'm not parenting them, I'm not putting them through school. I have a lot more time, and my time can be on the grandkids, but, you know, I'm way freer than Lauren, who has to get up at some ungodly hour to change or clean up or do whatever needs to be done. It's seasons of life and responsibilities. And here's the last one, our lifespan. Whether you like it or not, you get a set number. Some longer, some shorter. But it's a limitation. So I moved from max speed, lived my life at this like incredible breakthrough pace, not accepting my limits, not wanting to accept it, but always looking for breakthrough, always looking for, you know, the next breakthrough, the next, you know, limitations were, in my opinion, a negative. You know, rather than accept them as gifts from God, I didn't accept them and tried to fight them. So then I began to slow down to this next pace. Can I have the next one?
Are probably the most relaxed in all the stadium. I'm going to go like a jet. Yeah, you probably will. You're saying, let's just wait and see.
It's hard to believe that Usain Bolt can be as relaxed as he is. Now the moment of truth comes. A piece of sporting history.
It's my favourite event
to witness. Who will become the champion
ribbon
of the world here in Berlin?
The final of the men's 100 metres in the IAAF World Championships of Athletics here in Berlin 2009. Chambers, Burns, Bailey, Bolt, Powell, Patton and Thompson. The hush descends on this mighty packed arena. Bolt, Gay, Powell, 4, 5 and 6. They're away. Terrific start by Daniel Bailey. Usain Bolt, though, getting into his running. Here he comes. Usain Bolt, challenged by Tyson Gay. Usain Bolt, 2 clear metres. Tyson Gay in second place. And in third place, the Safa Powell.
9.58. Smashing the world record. Unbelievable. He's done it again.
There's a year later. Right there. So it's not mechanically, but it's a man. That's a man running incredibly fast, like 9.58. the gold ribbon of all the Olympics for me is just watching the 100 metres. I love it. I love all the other bits, but that one's my favourite. Paul goes on and says in 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 27, you have been to the stadiums and seen all the athletes run. Everyone runs, but one wins. So run to win. All good athletes run hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. But you're after one that's gold eternally. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No lazy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. And I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it and then missing out myself. So as I grew up a little bit more, the discipline of life became the way that I live my life. And that really scripture talks about a discipline. Disciplining your eating habits, your exercise regime, all those kind of things, right? And Paul talks about run in such a way or run to win. So somehow along the line, I got mixed up with the motive of running. And somehow I forgot the prize was actually eternity, not winning. I got caught on the winning. I slowed down from max speed, that was a good thing, but still running flat out to win. The goal of winning for me was success, recognition. So everything I did was down to success. What does success look like? What does recognition look like? What is significance? So these things began to form my running, even in my Christian life. And I think this is a society issue, even in the church. Somehow I feel it's just not me, that we run for success, we run for achievement, we run for recognition. Significance becomes our motive for running. The thing is, God's not interested in my achievements, not in this life. He's interested in my eternity with him. Again, Paul nailed it when he said he's not living his life based on his achievements or accolades, but only doing everything through Christ, who now gives him strength to do it in the first place. So how now shall we live? How do I live my life that is a practice for my eternal life? So the motive is now not winning, but actually practicing my eternal life. The invitation is here. This is the invitation in Matthew 11. I want to read this scripture in terms of how now do we live? How now shall I live? If max speed and living on my limits, and that's just becoming increasingly tired, I can't keep up that type of life. Success and achievements and accolades are never ending. You get one, there's another one to get. It never stops. It never ends. So how do I go from max speed to running so hard and winning at all cost? Because that really is exhausting. And this is where I found myself about 18 months ago. Absolutely exhausted. Tired on religion. Here it is. This is me. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out in religion? I'm a pastor, for goodness sake. Even me, burnt out on religion. Ridiculous, right? The invitation is come away with me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a rest, a real rest. It says, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay down, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Just keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So what does an invitation to keep company or walk with Jesus look like? I think much like this.
Whatever this world can give to me,
Yeah, now we love that one, but we live in the first two. That's the problem. We love that last one because it's what we want to do. It's how we want to live our life. But yet, for some reason, we get caught on the max speed, not embracing our limitations, not realizing that we have limited. So how fast does God move? About 5 kilometers an hour. 5 kilometers is how fast you and I walk. Now, you know, there, I didn't say how fast can God move. God can do whatever he wants. He's sovereign. I'm not saying that. I chose my words real carefully. He can do whatever he likes. He can cause breakthrough. But in my life and what I've learned over the last 12 months, particularly as I've slowed down and learned to slow down and unfortunately get caught with a couple of speeding fines, but that's actually caused me to go, what am I doing? Why am I living at max speed? And these revelations kind of began to open up, but it was only as I began to slow down. How fast does God move? About 5 kilometers an hour. The invitation to walk with him will mess up our motives for winning and certainly our definition of success. The invitation to keep company with him will push all of our limitations. We can either fight it or accept it. And slowing down, making room to delight, because that little boy finding those puddles, putting the lead down, putting something down, laying something down, letting go, trusting that the dog will be okay, it won't run away, and just spending delight. When I think of Sabbath, I think of that picture. I think of just being in the moment. Intimacy is a present state, not a past experience. It's being present. It's slowing down. It's going back. It's running through the puddles once, twice. Don't worry, God will wait. He's really good at waiting. As Alan said, I think before, he's so good at being patient. But will you let things go to stop and get your shoes just a little bit wet? And slowing down, making room for delight, connecting and aligning my life to Jesus, I found a secret. And this is my secret that helps me get back to that little boy, to stop living at max speed, to stop trying to win like Usain Bolt. That if I have faith in God, trust in God, belief in God, accept him and follow him, when I die, my reward is not that I get to go to heaven. My reward is I get God. Now that's a pretty simple statement, but it's really profound. If we live our life here trying to do our best for God, and a reward, if it's heaven, we've missed the whole point. The reward is we get God. We get God Almighty. We get the ruler of the universe. We get the creator of the universe. We get God. That's the goal of following Jesus, is we get him, not we get heaven. So if our goal or a reward is that we get God, why not practice delight now? Because eternity is an awful long time. So how do we stop? We all loved the last video. We all get caught on trying to live in both worlds. Jesus' invitation to get away and recover our life and show us how to get real rest. We can only do this through ruthlessly eliminating one thing. It's called hurry. A hurry is relentless. That's why it's ruthless to eliminate. The antidote, in my opinion, is Sabbath. solitude and silence is the thing that I kind of worked on to get me to the point, because I still don't have my Sabbath like that little boy. They're a little bit hit and miss. I go back to speed, I go back to lists, I go back to doing all the things of success and right and wrong and whatever, rather than just put things down and just be there. I still haven't nailed that delight. Silence and solitude has certainly helped me there. But for me, understanding, even as I put this together, my one sermon for the year, Pastor Caleb, that I actually found, can you block your ears for a minute? I actually found delight. Because if I'm going to preach to you, I have to actually do this stuff. I actually have to slow down. I have to do this stuff, intentionally be there, intentionally eliminate. So when I did the course, and Andrew will hopefully remember this, that when I did the course about slowing down, I said, I have to say no to a few things. I got accountable to saying no, because otherwise I'll just fill it. If I got margin and space, I'll just fill it. So the no kept me at a point to have margin, to have space, to actually fill it with God. Ruthless elimination of hurry, because hurry is relentless. It does not give in. It will not have a break. So the antidote is Sabbath. Sabbath is the wonderful tool to restlessly eliminate hurry. But we need to be very intentional. What I'd love us to do is why they play a song in the background, is to consciously allow God to maybe illuminate the cause, not the symptom, not deal with the symptoms. I think we're very good at that. Why don't we slow down? Why is it so hard to practice Sabbath? If it's 2 hours to go to four, if it's four to go to eight, if it's eight to go to 24. Otherwise, we're going to be back at that max speed or back at Usain Bolt, just running hard. But Jesus is wanting us to plan the puddles. Stop. Reflect. Can I ask you to stand? And as we sing this song, I want you to just reflect on, are you living at max speed, limitations, or just a thing you have to break through, always looking for the next breakthrough, always living your life on the edge and on the line, and there's no room there. There's no margin there to ponder, to think, to be creative, to be reflective. Or if we're running so hard and we've got caught up in the actual race and discipline and putting things together, the checklist, the to-do list, all those things, achievements and accolades or recognition, whatever it is, they're all false and it's not what God is wanting. He's wanting you to stop. He's wanting me to stop. Playing the puddles. I want you to reflect for a moment. Take this song just to reflect. God, show me a cause of my speed. If you want to walk with me at 5 kilometres an hour, why do I think I need to go at max speed and Usain Bolt speed? And just see what God shows us during this time. And after that, I'm going to pray and we'll wrap it up. Thanks, guys.